Okay, check this out, my man.
From NPR Music, you're connected to All Songs Considered. I'm Bob Boylan. I'd heard about Global Fest, the brief and intense annual world music festival that's been going on in New York for the past 5 years, but I've never thought of going to Global Fest. But when I looked at the lineup this year, I was curious. Of the 12 acts playing 3 stages in one night, I knew only 2 of the bands. The descriptions were enticing. An electronica band from Marseille, a Qawwali band from Brooklyn, a performance artist and Inuit throat singer raised just a few miles from the magnetic North Pole, and a bagpiper from Iran. Well, the evening was incredible. I bounced around from stage to stage, and I came away with my love for global music totally renewed. The next morning, I met up with 2 world music lovers and journalists. On this edition of All Songs Considered, we'll take you on a tour of Global Fest, and we'll play you music from 7 of those 12 bands with our guides Banning Air, the senior editor of Afropop.org, and we begin with Rob Weisberg, the host of a weekly world music show on WFMU in New Jersey called Trans-Pacific Sound Paradise. And you should know that all of the concerts from Global Fest will be on nprmusic.org and wnyc.org in their entirety. I asked Rob Weisberg to tell me who he heard at Global Fest that surprised this world music expert.
Well, I would say in the hadn't heard category, Shan Behzadeh, the Iranian performer, a multi-instrumentalist and singer from southern Iran with deep roots in East Africa, was very special. He's the one guy, I had never heard of him before this event. He lives in France, and this was a first, performed at Global Fest with his son as his percussionist accompaniment.
So let's hear some of it, and then we're going to come back and talk about this remarkable performer.
Shan Behzadeh, he's an incredible, charismatic performer. And part of it is about him. You definitely sense that he knows how to work with the audience and talk to the audience and stuff. But part of it are things that he just takes from the tradition. He literally dances on stage with the bagpipe, this big goatskin bagpipe with a green, beautiful green airbag. And he dances pretty aggressively, wildly.
Very sensual.
And very sensual. In fact, later in the show, he kind of stripped down and took off his shirt. And I've heard that when he did that in Iran, that actually got him in trouble. And even though the Iranian government post-revolution usually supports traditional culture, that's what they, as opposed to pop culture, in his case, he actually was banned for being too risque.
Wow. And let's listen, because his son is 14, 15, 16 years old.
15.
Playing the percussion here. Let's listen a little more. Now, I wasn't at all aware of a bagpipe tradition. I know of reed instruments, double reed instruments, but bagpipe tradition in Persia and in Iran.
Well, even a lot of Iranians are not aware of this tradition. This is a fairly fringe phenomenon. And one of the reasons that Shan Behzadeh went to Paris, he explained to me, I met him afterwards, and he was telling me that the Iranian government is supportive of traditional music, as you say, but it is not supportive of this particular tradition. He said that if he had the choice, that if he wanted to stay in Iran and do what he was doing, he would have to change the words to his songs and not dance. And this just felt like too much of a distortion. He felt that his own African past was being hidden by that, and that was unacceptable to him, and that was why he went to Paris.
Fantastic. So let's go to Banning for you at Global Fest. The music that you hadn't heard that just knocked you out.
One that I hadn't heard at all that I had heard about and was very curious about and really loved, and it's interesting because it's right in Brooklyn, was the Brooklyn Qawwali Party. And this is a really unique concept because Qawwali is Sufi devotional music from Pakistan, made world famous by the incredible singer, the late Nusrat Fateh Ali Khan. So here's a group of young guys in Brooklyn who play this devotional Pakistani Sufi music as brass band music, and they do a lot of the hand clapping, which is part of it, and they occasionally will put their horns down and sing a few lines of the song. They cover a lot of Nusrat songs, and yet they put it on in brass, you know, with this very interesting lineup of horns. I think it was French horn, trombone, saxophone.
Two saxophones.
Harmonium. Yeah, and then the harmonium, which is from the tradition.
Right.
But that's really the only instrument there from the tradition.
That's it, yeah.
And the clapping.
And the three percussions behind.
Yeah.
Which are not the standard.
Which are not the standard, exactly. So you put that all together, and they'll throw in New Orleans second line rhythms at times, and they play it very free and very, very happy. And I was really impressed with it. It was beautiful. It was a lot of fun to watch.
You know what? Brooklyn Qawwali Party, to me, also represent sort of an intriguing evolution in the tastes of young musicians and jazz players in New York. There are a lot of young jazz-trained musicians now who are exploring different international musics. I think it's an interesting challenge rhythmically.
It's a Jewish tradition, a lot of jazz musicians.
A lot of jazz players doing that. A lot of Balkan music here. And there are a few bands now. Brooklyn Qawwali Party, this very specific repertoire. And it's really something that wasn't happening when I was in college 20 years ago. College kids taking up this music. To me, it's very exciting and inspirational. And it's not just happening in New York either. It's happening in other places, too.
You mainly saw that over the years with Fela Kuti's music and all the bands that sort of sprung up. They sort of grew from the ground. And it's still happening. Chopped Teeth is a band from Washington. I just put on All Songs mm-hmm. Considered a week or two ago. And to hear... my love, my Nusrat Fateh Ali Khan is my music, one of my musical heroes, and to hear that in a Brooklyn band is just a gas.
It was, yeah, absolutely.
One of the things that I saw last night that surprised me was the sort of sexual nature of Shan Bezadeh, that really sort of moving his torso. And then later that night, I went and saw what I thought was one of the most remarkable performances I've ever seen. And that was Tanya Tagak. And she is someone who says she lives 300 miles from the magnetic North Pole, an Inuit throat singer. And I've heard these singers. You've heard these singers before. I certainly didn't expect a gorgeous woman in a low-cut black evening gown and a cellist doing the most sensual music. You both saw this, right?
Absolutely. And what was interesting to me, I mean, actually, she was supposed to perform with a DJ. So if it had been the performance that had been planned, it would have seemed more fused and electronic than what we saw. And I have no idea what that would have been like. But I actually think that it was just tremendously powerful in that context where you had all these complicated bands with these complicated fusions of this and that. I think this is one of the reasons that Shan Bezadeh and Tanya Tagak really stood out, because it was just so spare and so powerful in this individual performance. Also, what was remarkable about her was that the sounds that she was making were often very severe, all this huffing and puffing and kind of angst and sensuality, even sexuality, everything suggested. But when you looked at her, partly the dress and but also just her expressions, I mean, her face would go from this like joyous, ecstatic smiles to these incredible kind of, you know, her whole face was performing. And that was really remarkable to watch.
If this was 1978, she'd be the absolute darling of the punk new wave scene, you know, without any question, in a very odd way. Let's listen to a bit of her. Ha ba ba 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 ha ba Now, Bill O'Neill's our engineer. If you would just fade it down, just fly in a little bit. We'd want to hear some of that cello. Sound absolutely like a pure pop, sugary, sweet, normal singer. I mean, this person was out of her mind, out of control.
Chris Bjork loves her.
Yes.
They've worked together a couple of times. I think they just did something new. And Bjork kind of discovered her.
I think
that was her original break, was to go on a tour with Bjork. Yeah.
Somebody who lived further north and a little further out.
Yeah. But she's quite a character. You know, she didn't really grow up singing this music. She knew of it because where she lived was 80% Inuit population. But it was actually, she was away at art school and her mom sent her a tape and she was feeling homesick. And from there, she decided to try it out and kind of fell into it and does this very, I mean, she's kind of a wild, crazy, creative person. And
yeah.
She's just like uses this as her inspiration. But she's also, you know, as Banning was saying, you wouldn't expect it. The blindfold test, to listen to her first, you wouldn't expect this sort of petite, mild-mannered looking person.
With a cocktail dress, yes.
With a cocktail dress and these amazing sounds, guttural sounds coming out.
I think partly the cocktail dress is to telegraph what you were just saying, that she's really not, you know, expressing tradition here. I mean, she's using it, but she's not saying that this is, you know, who she is.
Well, to a lesser extent, that's almost what everyone in some way is doing. They're taking their tradition and they're moving it. I mean, that's why some of the reasons we love a lot of this newer music is because you want to see where they're going to take it. She just takes it a little further than many.
And also, notably, many of these groups are not taking their own tradition, but taking somebody else's tradition.
Who would be an example of that?
Well, let's take Chicha Libre. That's a group led by a French national, Olivier Conan, who lives now in Brooklyn, and he and another French person and a number of Americans are playing music from Peru from the 1970s, a kind of popular working class quasi psychedelic music called chicha, which is very obscure even in Peru. And Olivier discovered it on one of his trips there. But while he was sort of, he's a collector of vinyl, and he found these old records and fell in love with this music. And now, some years later, he's formed a band in Brooklyn, French and American people playing 70s psychedelic working class music from Peru. So that would be an example of that. Chicha Libre.
Let's give a listen to some of this. I love this group.
Fuerte, que me va matando, que me va matando. Triste, triste y solitario, sin padre ni madre, que lloren mis penas. Triste, triste y solitario, sin padre ni madre, que lloren mis penas. Vivo solo en la cantina, limpiando y sufriendo mis crueles venturas. Cielo, ¿por qué me castigas? ¿Por qué no mitigas este sufrimiento? Cielo, Porque me castigas. Porque no me digas.
So people know we'll have hopefully full concerts of all the people that were at Global Fest, certainly most of the people at Global Fest on the NPR Music site. I'm here with Banning Air from Afropop and Rob Weisberg from WFMU. A lot of big hats on that stage. They're the biggest hats I've ever seen.
They like to play the part.
Yeah,
and this is, I believe, a lot of their songs are versions of the old Chicha songs that Olivier fell in love with. Although occasionally they'll try to do a song inspired by that. They've done a few of their own originals on their debut album as well. The organ sound you heard there is pretty cool. That's actually an instrument that looks like an accordion from the 70s called the Hohner Electrovox, which adds an interesting visual element. Their instrumentation is a little weird. Olivier, the leader of the band, also plays a Venezuelan instrument, the Venezuelan cuatro, which is a very small...
Bigger than a ukulele, smaller than a small parlor guitar.
Yeah. Yes. So they're having fun with it, basically. And they do very well. They play all the time at Barbez, which is kind of their home base in Brooklyn. And Peruvian kids come out and dance to the music. So they're doing a good job of making this work.
This is sort of homegrown. We talked about a couple of homegrown Brooklyn bands, yeah? And obviously that's not what was at this festival. They brought a big star to this festival in the form of a sort of a Bollywood superstar in some way.
Yeah, an interesting guy, though, in that he has achieved that level of fame, Kailash Kher, but he's interested in finding other audiences as well. He kind of does a number of different things. I mean, he has, yes, had his voice in Bollywood films, which is sort of instant stardom. I guess particularly, I understand, for interpretations of Sufi songs, but, you know, sort of popularized, very much stylized versions and very contemporary style. He's sort of in the vein. There's this famous film composer from recent years named A.R. Rahman, who was on Broadway with Bollywood Dreams. And as Kailash Kher, his Bollywood music really follows on that. It's a very sort of smooth and polished sound. But he also has training in traditional music from North India and classical music. And when he performs live, he has a working band, which is something in the old days, a Bollywood singer, somebody who made a living there. Basically, you nestled in and you didn't have like a working band. They'd be a singer, and then there'd be a studio orchestra with them. Or now there might be somebody like A.R. Rahman with his Pro Tools, with his computer, making the music for you. But this guy is different. He also wants to have a working Indian band. He wants to kind of be a Bollywood star and a rock star at the same time.
And he looked the part. He real sparkly suits and let's listen to some of his music and come back and talk about it. I think had they left the synth player at home, I'd have been there. Do you know what I mean?
But that's a bit what makes him an Indian artist.
Yeah.
He's working a certain aesthetic still. It's interesting. This song is a Punjabi style song, and Bhangra, this Punjabi folk music through England, was kind of the beginning of the idea of like rock style bands playing Indian music. And I think it's kind of reflected back to India. But as I said, this sounds a little more still the Bollywood aesthetic, still a little more in this music than maybe would be in that.
What's interesting to me about him is that all of these things that used to be separate are coming together
now.
How
do you mean?
Well, I mean, he has the classical training. He's referencing the Bollywood thing, which at one time was viewed very suspiciously by classicists, but it's so popular now that it's kind of and now it's taking influence, as Rob says, from Bhangra and club music, and then this concept of him having to have a band. You know, he wants to have it all, and to me that sort of says something about the way India is changing, you know, the way everything's kind of bleeding together and there's this great sense of possibilities. And it was wonderful the way he came in front of the audience last night. You know, nobody knew who he was, and you just instantly knew he was a star by the way he presented himself, by the way he moved, by his rap and his body language, and it just everyone was got that, even if they didn't like the synthesizer, which I hear you on.
There was a band last night, tell me if I got the name right, La Trova Kung Fu.
Mm-hmm.
And this is not an Asian band.
No. They're a band with a sense of humor, yep. But a really fun party band on the one hand, but musically really interesting fusionist, but organic fusionist. It's not so much about electronic. For them, it's about playing their instruments and singing and doing songs they love to play. They're from Barcelona and around there, and their primary language is Catalan, and they sing a bit in Spanish and even a little bit in English. And what they do is they've updated a style from Spain that is called rumba, which is a little different from the Afro-Cuban rumba. It's a popular music. On the one hand, there's a guitar style in it that's based on flamenco, but it's much more rhythmically straightforward, and also a clapping rhythm called the palmas, and that kind of defines the music. And what they say is they use the rumba as their surfboard, and all the other genres that they like African music and cumbia from Colombia and rock and roll and even American Zydeco, they use those as the waves. And they ride the waves.
So, meaning one is sort of the rhythmic pulse, and, mm-hmm. and then all other stuff happens on top of it.
Yeah. The rumba kind of runs through the music, but everything else happens on top. Yes.
Let's give a listen to some of this because it is pretty cool.
Hey, sóc aquí, però tu no em veus. Hey, sóc aquí, però tu no em veus. Hey, sóc aquí, però tu no em veus.
The only reference point I had was maybe Manu Chao for seeing this band.
Yeah, he's definitely an influence. He's influenced a lot of people, actually. And the fact that a lot of bands, curiously, including this one, play some reggae is actually a little bit, I think, Manu Chao's influence as well, although that's kind of a whole other conversation. One thing I enjoy about Global Fest and about seeing the European young European bands is that you're seeing a different set of givens of sort of baseline interest than you'll see from an American band, from a New York band or a California band.
What do you mean?
Well, for here, it's of course the interest in the bass and the rumba, but also the genres that they like. Although I have to say, these guys are a little unusual. Maybe a band like Watcha Clan, who we might hear later, reflect that a little bit more, the taste of their town. But to me, it's intriguing. This is the style that they play. Is not only is it not known here, the rumba, their surfboard, not only is it not known here, it's not even known. I mean, we have a huge Spanish-speaking population, and they don't know this music. So this is really something that's a little bit out of left field, both in the basic underlying music and in what they do with it. But then I'm also sort of charmed by the fact on the song Color Color that they are inspired by American blues and zydeco. So
yeah, you definitely hear the zydeco there.
Yeah. Cool. Even though they don't call it zydeco, they think of it as, he said, oh, we're influenced by blues. He never said zydeco. So it's kind of like a little bit, you know what, musicians just play what they play. They hear what they like. And that's what I feel about La Trova Kung Fu. It's a band that just like gets together, listens to music, and then like says, hey, let's see what we can do with it.
Well, come back to America. There's a band based out of Chicago that I quite loved last night. The Occidental, I got a long name. What is it?
The Occidental Brothers International Band, I believe. Is that the full name?
I think that's the word dance in there.
Oh, International Dance Band.
So
that sounds right. Yeah. Yes.
It has definitely, the guitarist is not from Ghana. You can certainly. A white guitar player with that nice, lilting, lyrical guitar style.
Yes, Nathaniel Broderick, he's really got it. It's interesting. I mean, there are a lot of bands in American cities now that are made up of one or two or three Africans from a particular region or even a particular country representing a style with Americans that they have now over a few years taught how to play their music. And they're playing authentic styles and often styles of the past. Like this band plays, they play rumba from the Congo, a different kind of rumba from what we were talking about earlier. Rumba is a complicated word. We don't have to get into all its permutations, but they play high life. They play musics from the sort of dance band independence era in Africa that have largely disappeared, been replaced by more techno musics and more hip-hop influenced musics now that young groups are playing. So here you have this kind of nostalgia thing happening in an American city far away, but they're playing it very nicely. As you say, they've really got the style down, and the arrangements are lovely. And for me, as a fan of old school African dance band music, it's really nice to hear this, and they just did it beautifully. I've heard about this band, first time I've ever gotten to stand in front of them and watch them, and it was a real treat.
This song is called Mawako Mamami. Please give me your heart.
At times you could hear a little Hugh Masekela in the trumpet during the course of the evening. It's a beautiful band. And the entire name, let's get the name right for the sake of...
Absolutely. The Occidental Brothers Dance Band International. And you have to know there's a little inside joke there because there was a famous high life band called the Oriental Brothers. And so they're joking on that, the Occidental, the Western Brothers.
That's great.
It is nice that they're playing this guitar-centered music, which Banning and I have both always loved. I mean, African guitar music, which to me, for a lot of people, you have sort of an entry into world musical interest, and that was sort of the way in for me. And yet, among American musicians, the interest has been a little more on the sort of horn-driven Afrobeat style that many people know from the late, great Fela. So it's really a pleasure to see more American musicians picking up on some other vintage wrinkles in African popular music.
And let's take us out, Rob, on the band that closed Global Fest, a band that just absolutely bowled me over because I never heard them. And the name of this group is
Wachaclan. And they're from Marseille in the south of France, which is a gritty city, but a beautiful city right on the water and very multicultural. An interesting thing about Marseille is that it's a little different from Paris in that in Paris, the ethnic communities are kind of mostly off to the side and in the suburbs. The Arab influence is right in the center. It's a big Arab section right in the center of Marseille near the water. And basically what Wachaclan does is take the music that they hear around them combined with intriguing influences from their singer, Sister Kay's family background, actually.
Which is
on her mom's side, Ashkenazi Jewish from Eastern Europe. So they bring in a lot of Eastern European music. And then her dad is... her dad was a Sephardic and Berber from North Africa. And so there is a direct connection to her North African roots, which you also hear, as I say, in the streets in Marseille. And they mix that together with dub and reggae and electro beats, which are very popular there. And it's a pretty cool combination. And especially, though, live, they just have a great presence. She's very charismatic. And they kind of know how to get the crowd going. You know, they're really a club band. They're really a dance band. They want everybody to come along with them. And I doubt very many people who were there had ever heard them before. It's only their second time playing in New York and in the United States. And it was amazing how they pulled the crowd in. It was great.
Very fierce electronic beats going on. Incredibly deep, deep bass from this upright electric bass player. And then along comes a guitar player that...
Yeah. Well, and he was a good, you know, it's interesting. He was an addition to the band pretty recently. He's Algerian and kind of extends the palette a little bit because they're kind of one of those groups that's a little in between a studio concoction and an actual live band compared to a band we talked about earlier, La Trova Kung Fu from Spain, who also mix a lot of elements together. La Trova is a little more organic. It's just about the instruments and the playing, whereas these guys, it's also a lot about studio, about dub, also about live mixing from Toti, their engineer, who also does, you know, is responsible for a lot of the dub effects.
That's right. Her vocals were, you know, looped and captured and changed and altered. That mixed beautifully with what the keyboard, the beat player was doing.
But adding the guitarist has really given them a lot more stage presence, I think, made them feel more like a band.
So take us out on something, Rob Weisberg. What should we hear?
And speaking of their kind of more up-tempo rocking stuff, the song that really blows me away is called Gumari, which is actually something they do a lot, which is take traditional songs and rework them. In this case, it's a traditional Moroccan Nawa song, Nawa being a sub-Saharan people who moved to North Africa. And the music actually resonates a lot these days in North Africa, and you hear it both from younger musicians there mixing it up with beats as well as in France, and they just do this rocking version of a traditional Nawa song called Gumari.
And it takes this nice, long, slow build. Again, the entire concerts we'll be able to put online in NPR Music, and so check that out. And thank you both for doing this, Banning Air, Rob Weisberg. It was a blast to hear all this great music, and I hope some of you go and enjoy some of the music that's online. Thanks to WNYC for doing all the hard work and for Global Fest putting together a great great show, and hopefully we'll be back next year.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
There is the land far, far away. There is no night, there's only day.
And you can hear this entire concert from WatchaClan at nprmusic.org and wnyc.org. And all of the concerts we talked about and more will wind up at our website. Thanks to Banning Air. Thanks, Rob Weisberg. And in particular, thanks to Ed Haber, Eileen Del Hunte, and Lee Moore Tomer from WNYC for putting all this together. And thanks to Global Fest. For NPR Music, I'm Bob Boylan. It's All Songs Considered.